Our third presenter is Dr. Dijon Wong, and I hope I pronounced your first name correctly, sir. You're going to be talking about the rapid rise of electronic cigarettes, public health and policy implications. Dr. Wong is a research specialist at the Health Policy Center at the Institute for Health Research and Policy at the University of Illinois, Chicago. His research focuses on a number of areas, including economic and public health impact of tobacco price and tax policies, smoke-free air laws, and how these policies, along with state and local tobacco control efforts, anti-tobacco media campaigns, and tobacco industry marketing, influence youth and adult tobacco purchasing behaviors and tobacco use outcomes. Dr. Wong.
Thank you. So I'm sure everybody here in this room have either heard or seen or read about electronic cigarettes by now. So it seems like just 2 or 3 years ago, electronic cigarettes are not under the radar of public health researchers, but nowadays you can't go to any conferences without running to at least one or two presentations about electronic cigarettes. So this is one of them. For but today, we have a number of studies, including a most recent report from CDC, documenting the rise of electronic cigarettes, particularly based on the national and regional surveys, showing both among adults and youth, the average use of electronic cigarettes have doubled between 2010 and 2011 for adults, and between 2011-2012 among youth. So the current prevalence rates of ever-use of electronic cigarettes is about 6% among youth and 7-8% among adults. And in addition, we also had a lot of financial reports from Wall Street projecting that the sales of electronic cigarettes this year is going to hit $1.7 billion dollar, and globally it's going to hit $3 billion, so it's going to overshadow the sales, global sales of NRT products. In addition, I'm sure you have seen in your own city and neighborhoods the appearance of a lot of e-cig lounge and boutique shops where you can buy all kinds of electronic cigarettes with different flavorings. But today, I'm going to talk about the growth of electronic cigarettes from a slightly different perspective. I'm going to focus on three factors, particularly flavoring and marketing and pricing strategies, and how those three factors contribute to the growth of electronic cigarettes. Before I start, I just want to say neither my co-authors and I have any financial relationships to disclose. However, given the nature of the presentation, I'm going to talk about the top brands of electronic cigarettes like Blu and Enjoy and other brands, but it doesn't mean that we have any relationship with those companies, and it doesn't mean that it doesn't imply any endorsement. So I would like to acknowledge the funding for this study. It comes from two projects funded by the National Cancer Institute, led by my co-authors, Dr. Frank Chalupka and Dr. Sherry Emery. So a bit more emphasis on the flavoring. So we know that flavoring and is especially appeal to the youth, and currently more than a dozen other states do not have any laws prohibit sales to minors. That means kids are legally can legally buy electronic cigarettes on those states. The two factors combined really make it concern, especially for kids. And here is a picture of electronic cigarettes. Well, electronic cigarettes come in different shapes and sizes. This is just one type. And I want you to focus on that part, the cartridge containing the liquid, the e-juice, which contain nicotine and flavorings and other chemicals. There you can basically, there are two types of electronic cigarettes. One is rechargeable, which the company calls starter kit. You can reuse those electronic cigarettes with refills of those e-juice. And there are disposable electronic cigarettes where you just use once. So you can, for both disposable and rechargeable electronic cigarettes, there are different flavors you can choose. Here are just a number of flavors like mango and apple, cherry. And if you do a quick search, you can see there are more than 150 flavors now you can buy online and on in retail stores. Those flavors come in from five major categories. The first category is the tobacco flavor. So basically includes a Turkish tobacco, different blends of tobacco, all different tobacco flavor that you can think of. And the second is menthol flavor, a second category. And third category is the fruit flavor with all kinds of fruits flavors. And the third is sweets, including ice creams and desserts. And another category is the alcohol drinks like rum and margarita, and beverages like coffee and cappuccino. So I'm going to talk about the data that we used to investigate the marketing and pricing strategies for different brands of e-cigarettes. The data we use come from a commercial database, which is I can't really disclose the name of the company, so let's just call the company its name N. Okay, so we obtained those data from this company. Those are store scanner data. Basically, this company invites retail stores to be participating in their program, and they send field staffs to go to those stores to literally scan all the products in their store. So that's why we have very detailed information on the price on various different tobacco products, including electronic cigarettes, cigars, cigarillos, and other tobacco products as well. And here is the market that the 52 markets covered in this database. One of the the advantage of using store scanner data is that we can really look at the pricing strategy, promotion, and by specific tobacco product category. However, there are disadvantages. For example, one of the major disadvantage is that the database, the sales number from this database is limited to the participating retail stores. So there are other retail stores out there. In particular, for example, what is relevant to electronic cigarettes is you've seen that those little e-cig lounge and the boutique shops appearing everywhere, but those shops are most likely not included in this database. So the sales data that I'm going to present later are an underestimate of the total sales in the retail sector. In addition, it doesn't include online sales, and it is estimated about 40% of the sales of electronic cigarettes are happen online. So those are the two major drawbacks of using store scanner data. This is the model that we use to estimate the price elasticity. Those are the grouping of flavors in our database. So here is the sales dollar of electronic cigarettes, including both starter kits, disposable electronic cigarettes, cartridges, and other accessories. And as you can see from here, there is a very rapid growth of sales of electronic cigarettes from the first quarter of 2010 to the last quarter of 2012. The first quarter of 2010, there's barely a $1 million sale. And at the end of 2012, the sales has reached $80 million. And for the whole year of 2012, the sales of e-cigarette products stand close to $260 million. And if you look at industry report, it says in 2012, the total e-cig sales is about $500 million. The reason is that here, we only track the participating retail stores. So there are about 40% of sales happen online. And if you get those numbers together, the actual sales number is close to what the industry reports. So it's about $500 million in 2012. And this year, it is going to project it to be $1.7 billion. The last quarter of 2012, the total sales is about $80 million. And for this year, the third quarter alone, the blue e-cigarette alone, the sales is already exceeds $67 million. Okay, so as you can see, even though we have a lot of different brands of electronic cigarettes, the top five e-cigarettes really takes a lot of market share. So this graph shows, well, there are a lot of changes in electronic cigarette markets just within those three 3 years of period. The brands that used to dominate brands no longer exist, and we have new brands coming into the market. And right now, top five brand takes up 85% of the market share. So basically, a Blue, Enjoy, Mystic, 21st Century, Logic, those five brands take up 85% of the market. So why? One of the reasons that we think that contribute to the growth of those top brands is the marketing. So here we're looking at the marketing expenditures by different brands of cigarettes. As you can see, Blue e-cigs really stands out, particularly after it is acquired by Lorillard in 2012. The marketing has skyrocketed, and we actually made a mistake there. So the next highest is actually Enjoy marketing, but we separate Enjoy by Enjoy Regular and Enjoy King. So if we combine those two, the second highest marketing brand is Enjoy, which corresponding to the brand market share you see here in this graph. So basically, what it says here is marketing really matters, and marketing really drives the growth of electronic cigarettes, at least in those 3 year time period. So let's look at the growth by flavor. And here is the total sales of electronic cigarettes, but now we classify by flavor rather than by brands. As you can see, both tobacco-flavored e-cigs and the menthol e-cigs have grown rapidly in the past 3 years. And in 2012, in particular, the fruit-flavored electronic cigarettes also increased quite a lot. The growth rate for fruit-flavored e-cigs are actually the highest, even though it only represents a small portion of the sales, but the growth rate is the highest. So this is the share of the e-cigs by flavor, and what is striking here is the menthol flavored e-cigs really grow from a very small portion of the market, taking up about 30% of the market by the end of 2012, and in addition to that, in 2012, fruit flavored e-cigs also increased quite a lot. One of the reasons that you see here, the fruit-flavored e-cigs, even though it grew rapidly, in terms of absolute sales dollar, it's still quite low compared with other flavored. This has to do with the strategies of the top five e-cig brands. In particular, among those top five brands we just showed, three of them, Enjoy, Mystic, and Logic, they only focus their products on two flavors, basically tobacco flavor and the menthol flavor. Only Blue e-cigs have seven flavors with vanilla, cherry, menthol, tobacco and Java jolts, pina colada and peach schnapps. And 21st century also have 8 flavors. But compare with other retails, particularly those vendors online, like Vitu Essex or Vapor for Life, those have tons of flavors. So the data you see here, that fruit flavor representing a small portion of the e-cig sales, really, I think it's an underestimate of the true market share for fruit flavored and other flavored e-cigs in the market. And I also want to briefly emphasize the marketing position for Enjoy and Blu on this slide. So for Enjoy, it really focused on producing a product that represents exactly like a cigarette. So if you, for those who have ever seen an Enjoy e-cigarette, the color look exactly like conventional cigarettes. They want to focus this product to make it appear as similar as conventional cigarettes to attract current smokers. But for Blu, the marketing strategy is a little bit different from Enjoy. They want to make their product different from conventional cigarettes. So that's why their product is very chic, very, you know, with blue lights at the tip, which doesn't really look like conventional cigarettes. So that's what they want to make their product distinctively from conventional cigarettes. So there are some marketing differences in between Blu and Enjoy. Here is by product type. Again, we see similar results here. This is a starter kit. The market share. This is disposable, and this is refills. And what I want to emphasize here is the refills is the product type that really sees the increase in the fruit flavor. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the marketing diffusion of the e-cigarettes. So those are the number of markets that sell different types of e-cigarettes. So starting from 2010, the first quarter, they're owning about 10 markets selling e-cigarettes. And at the end of 2012, almost all the markets have are selling those products. And fruit-flavored e-cigarettes are in the south, and in major metropolitan areas, those top metropolitan areas like Chicago, New York. So another factor that I want to talk about is the impact of price. Here, we plot the real price of e-cigarettes for starter kits and the sales of electronic cigarettes. As you can see, there is a very nice inverse relationship. And for this is for disposable. So when the price goes down, sales goes up. And actually, one of the major factors that drive the growth of disposable e-cigarettes is the drop in their real price over this time period. So here we look at the sales by product type and by brands. And in the starter kit market, Blu e-cigarette is the market leader. The sales is the highest, and it has to do with the marketing, which I showed you earlier. The pricing strategy for Blu is also very interesting. Here is the average price for e-cig starters by brands and by flavor. And Blu e-cigs are the most expensive one in starter kits. That's because that's what they positioning their product. They want their product to convey a sense of good quality, and the product is well packaged. It's like Apple, you know, Apple product in the electronic cigarette in the electronic market. The other brands, though, their starter kit price are lower, and their qualities are not well, I can't really say because there is no testing, but they appear to be, their packaging appear to be not as cool or as attractive as blue e-cigarettes.
What's in a starter kit?
A starter kit include battery, cartridges, and accessories like charger and cases and other stuff that's in there. So, well, one of the reasons that they can charge higher prices is also because Blue has a lot of marketing expenditures. So this is one way to recuperate their marketing expenditures. In the disposable market, Android is the market leader in the disposable market. That's their focus. Android really want to focus on to create a product that attracts existing smokers. And one of the factors that influence the smokers is the high price of conventional cigarettes because of higher cigarette taxes. So that's why here Android really focus on cheaper products, disposables, rather than starter kits. And here is the price for different by different brands. As you can see, Android is that by far the cheapest among all different brands. And here, what's interesting for Blue is Blue actually wanted to gain market share in the second quarter of 2011. That's why they temporarily dropped their price to gain market share. But when the sales goes up, they raise their price again. So this is the sales for refills. Refills, Mystic are the ones that are leading the market. There's another interesting thing that I want to point out here is that for all the other brands, the sales of e-cigs, tobacco-flavored e-cigs are higher for all the other brands, except for Blue. For Blue, the highest sales is the fruit flavor refills. So those are the price for refills. And those are the estimates for price elasticity, which is an indicator of how responsive the consumers to the price of different flavored cigarettes. Basically, the results show that consumers are sensitive to price changes in electronic cigarettes by flavor. However, they're less sensitive to the price change in fruit flavor. So here's the summary, is that we've seen that tobacco and menthol-flavored e-cigs really dominate the sales in the retail stores. However, the fruit-flavored e-cigs really experienced a rapid growth in 2012 and started to erode the market share of tobacco-flavored e-cigs. In addition to that, we see that top five brands captured the 85% of the market share, and the marketing expenditure and pricing strategy and flavors appear to be the major factors that drive the brand and the product growth. And consumers were sensitive to the price change in electronic cigarettes, but the fruit flavor, they're less sensitive to the price change in fruit flavor, which means they really like those products. They're less likely to change to other products, switch to other products because of the price change. So what's the implication for public policies? Okay, so we know that FDA has already come up the new regulations for other tobacco products. It's under review. It hasn't been announced yet. It's currently under review in the Office of Management and Budget Office. But I think they already have the new regulation. So most likely, I think they will, if I make a guess, I think they will assert authority over electronic cigarettes and other tobacco products. However, what's the implication for that? Well, even if they deem electronic cigarettes as tobacco products, they're limited in terms of what they can do. One thing is they can ban the flavored e-cigarettes, like what they did with conventional cigarettes. However, what you can see is Well, the top five brands of electronic cigarettes, they are not the ones that are offering those flavors. Most of those flavors were offered by small vendors and small retailers online. So the deeming regulation by FDA, if the regulation banned the flavored e-cigarettes, they won't have any major impact on the sales for top e-cig companies. Another option, if FDA decided to limit the marketing of electronic cigarettes on television, radio, and print media, similar as what we have, the regulation we have for conventional cigarettes, well, those top brands, they already established their market share. So the marketing restrictions would have more impact on the smaller vendors than those top e-cig companies. So basically, even if FDA asserts their authority over electronic cigarettes, the regulations, the deeming regulations, is unlikely to make a big change in the e-cig markets, at least for the top brand e-cig companies. So, thank you.